serial site contains graphic content that some listeners may find disturbing.
Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Serial Psych. My name is Jordan, and I am attracted to Daniel, but I'm also attracted to Jennifer Lawrence.
And this is Dan.
I like titles.
This is going to be a special episode, I guess.
Yes, it is.
I mean, all I know, as you know, most of the time, I have no clue what the topics are going to be. But there is, on the slideshow on the computer here, it says sexual orientation.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, boy. I can only... Well, after that guy riding the hippo on the last episode, I can only wonder. Now, I want you all to take a moment. Let's get serious. Everybody, thank you for being a part of our psychotic family. Thank you for joining us all across the world. We love you. But I want you to sit there and reflect on what you've just done when you clicked on Serial Psych. Episode 8. I want you to think about your actions for a moment. When you're finished, I'm going to need you to go ahead and hit that follow button. We want to make sure you're going to be in a repeat offender. Just like the serial killers that we cover. Keep your minds open. Your heart's cold and black like an iced coffee. And if you think I'm a crazy, goofy motherfucker, go ahead and hit that follow button.
Yeah, I know I'm a crazy, goofy motherfucker.
Good times, good times.
Plus psycho.
That's all we allow. If you're too sane for your own good, then stop listening to the show. Welcome, everybody. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome.
And thank you to our patrons.
Anastasia.
Our newest patron, Anastasia, Kathy, and John.
And Teresa.
And Teresa. Thank you for all of you saints.
Yes.
Welcome to another episode. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook. Check out every Saturday when we put out a sneak peek, hint and clue of the next episode.
Sneak peek Saturday.
Write your best guess.
Go for it, I dare you.
You can use it also as a platform to put me down. I'm used to it.
Make fun of him.
Go ahead.
He loves it.
Thick them stones can break my bones.
You ready to get right into it?
That's what she said.
Well, that may be what she said. You never know.
Perfect topic for that line.
Mm-hmm. Today we are covering sexual orientation.
Mm.
Sexual orientation, according to Wikipedia, and I copied and pasted because I like their definition, is defined as an enduring pattern of... What was funny about that?
Go ahead. Keep going.
An enduring pattern of romantic or sexual attraction, or a combination of these.
He don't outlast my vibrator.
I mean, vibrators are a little bit better, but whatever. To persons of the opposite sex or gender, the same sex or gender, or to both sexes, or more than one gender. These attractions are genuinely subsumed under heterosexuality, homosexuality, and bisexuality, while asexuality, the lack of sexual attraction to others, is sometimes identified as the fourth category.
Well, that's pretty descriptive. It just left out Humphrey the Hippo.
We are not covering zoophilia today.
I can't get that.
That is a topic
for
another day.
I can't get that image out of my head. If you have it, for all of you that haven't heard episode 7 yet, you gotta at least go to Instagram and check out the picture of Humphrey the Hippo.
Yes.
And his owner.
Yes.
Just look in his eyes. That look of passion. That look of ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
It's priceless. And it just screams, let's make a baby.
Oh, God. Asexuality is the lack of sexual attraction to others or a low interest in sexual activity. Some people consider asexuality to be their sexual orientation, and others describe it as an absence of sexual orientation. According to the American Psychological Association, sexual orientation, quote, also refers to a person's sense of identity based on those attractions, related behaviors, and membership in a community of others who share those attractions. They also mentioned that sexual orientation can be on a continuum from exclusive attraction to the opposite sex to exclusive attraction to the same sex. I think I'm somewhere in the middle. What about you?
Hetero.
So, like, exclusively?
Mm-hmm.
I think you're, like, because you find, like, you can look at a man and be like, yeah, that guy is handsome.
Yeah, I could say that. Yeah. Yeah, there's a handsome
people. So I wouldn't say you're, like, on the very end, but, yeah. Other terms that are used when talking about sexual orientation include pansexual, which is being attracted to someone based on their personality, polysexual, being attracted to multiple genders, androphilia is being attracted to masculinity when the other person is gender binary, and gynophilia being attracted to femininity when the other person is gender binary.
You're not covered Humphrey. I know there's a word for that. What's that word?
Bestiality?
There it is. There we go. Slow clap, everybody. Slow clap. Slow clap. That's the way I like it. Okay. I just had to hear it. But we don't have a flag.
No, because...
We're going to make a flag.
No.
Any of you artists out there?
No.
On Photoshop, blah, blah, blah. Make us your best flag. Bestiality with Humphrey the Hippo in the middle of the flag.
We'll cover zoophilia. We'll
put
him
in the top
episode.
Left, like the stars would be on the U.S. flag. Picture Humphrey.
No.
We'll even make like a theme song, you know. Oh, say to the beast. So, okay, go ahead. I'll go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
You done?
I'll say to the beast. Sorry, Uncle Sam.
Back to sexual orientation that has nothing to do with animals. Sexual orientation is not the same as gender identity. If you don't already know that, you're probably living under a rock or an ignorant homophobic. Just saying. We'll go over gender identity in a future episode. Let's go on to the history of sexual orientation. Some of the earliest accounts of same-sex relationship can be found in ancient Greece and Rome, ancient Mesopotamia, and some regions of China, such as Fujian province, and certain times in ancient European history. Pictorial and literary references in ancient Mesopotamia show acceptance of some forms of homosexuality. The Almanac of Incantations, for example, contained prayers favoring on an equal basis the love of a man for a woman, of a woman for a man, and of a man for a man.
When a man loves a woman. Okay.
That's all I know of the song.
It's all that's needed.
Yeah. There's no mention of lesbian relationships, but that's probably because of the low status of women at the time. Fucking patriarchy. Stupid. Ancient Greece. Ancient Greece was fucked. They practiced something called pederasty, which is a sexual relationship between a man and an adolescent or pubescent boy.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's the most appropriate picture I could find. There's...
That was, like, popular on a Saturday night in Greece?
No, they had a relationship.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And the man would be married to a woman, too, but, like, it was...
What?
Yeah.
This is, like, every household?
No, probably not every household, but, like, it was...
They ever got their hands on a boy? Mm-hmm. That's awful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What... How many years did that... Was that a trend?
I don't know. I didn't go that into it because it grossed me out.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. During the Zhou dynasty in China, male domestic partnerships were widely accepted, though there were no marital or religious ceremonies. At least two of the Roman emperors were in same-sex unions, and in fact, 13 out of the first 14 Roman emperors are said to have been bisexual or exclusively homosexual. The Romans appear to have been the first to perform same-sex marriages. So, like, way back, like before Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Roman times.
Mm-hmm. Same-sex marriage was outlawed on December 16th, 342 AD by the Christian emperors Constantius II and Constans, because they believed marriage should be for procreation purposes. And then there's a photo of his bust.
Busty.
After the Middle Ages in Europe, same-sex relationships were increasingly frowned upon and banned in many countries by the church or the state. The Catholic Church has always maintained that marriage, also called holy matrimony, is a sacrament instituted by Christ between a baptized man and a baptized woman. In North American history, the Native American societies, homosexuality existed. Anthropologist Brian Gilley stated, quote, "In many tribes, individuals who entered into same-sex relationships were considered holy and treated with utmost respect and acceptance." Of course, us Americans then slaughtered countless Native Americans and brought the holy Christian spirit with us. Homosexuality was then outlawed and punishable by death. There's also a history in psychology about sexual orientation. In 1952, the APA listed homosexuality in the DSM as a psychopathic personality disturbance.
What year was that again?
1952.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. That wasn't that long ago.
Psychological disturbance.
Mm-hmm. Like a sociopathic personality disturbance.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. In 1956, however, psychologist Evelyn Hooker performed a study comparing the happiness and well-adjusted nature of self-identified homosexual men with heterosexual men and found no difference. Her study stunned the medical community and made her a heroine to many gay men and lesbians. Homosexuality remained in the DSM until May 1974 with the release of the DSM-3. So it was considered a psychological disorder until 1973.
They made it sound like a poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
They did. It's a disturbance.
It's a disturbance. Historians believe that the LGBTQ plus rights movement began with the Stonewall Uprising in New York. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Well, I'm going to go into a history lesson on the Stonewall riots.
Let's do it.
On June 28, 1969, police raided the Stonewall Inn in Greenwich Village, which was a popular lesbian and gay bar. The raid did not go as planned. Standard procedure was to line up the patrons, check their identification, and have female police officers take customers dressed as women to the bathroom to verify their sex.
What? What, she wanted to take a sneak peek?
Yeah.
She had her own sneak peek Saturday.
And any people...
What the hell?
Any people,
I'm sure she got a kick out of that job.
Oof.
Sorry.
Any people appearing to be physically male and dressed as women would be arrested. Those dressed as women that night, however, refused to go with the officers, and men in the line began to refuse to produce their identification, causing outrage.
Yeah, who the fuck would want to do that?
Right. The crowd outside the bar rose to about 10 times the amount of people that were in the bar, and the tension kept building. Pennies, then beer bottles, were thrown at the police wagon as a rumor spread through the crowd that patrons still inside the bar were being beaten. A scuffle broke out when a woman in handcuffs was escorted from the bar to the waiting police wagon several times. She escaped repeatedly and fought with four of the police, swearing and shouting, for about 10 minutes. She then yelled at the crowd, stating, quote, "Why don't you guys do something?" That's when the crowd became a mob and the violence began.
Dang. Egged it on.
Mm-hmm. The police tried to restrain some of the crowd, knocking a few people down, which incited bystanders even more. Garbage cans, garbage, bottles, rocks, and bricks were hurled at the building, breaking the windows. Witnesses attest that flame queens, hustlers, and gay street kids were responsible for the first volley of projectiles, as well as the uprooting of a parking meter used as a battering ram on the doors of the Stonewall Inn. A bystander and witness reported, quote, I had been in enough riots to know the fun was over. The cops were totally humiliated. This never, ever happened. They were angrier than I guess they had ever been because everybody else had rioted, but the fairies were not supposed to riot. No group had ever forced cops to retreat before, so the anger was just enormous. I mean, they wanted to kill. The crowd then started to mock the police, starting a kick line and singing. Another witness stated, quote, I just can't get over that one sight out of my mind. The cops with the nightsticks and the kick line on the other side. It was the most amazing thing. And all of a sudden, that kick line, which I guess was a spoof on the machismo, I think that's when I felt rage, because people were getting smashed with bats. And for what? A kick line. The riot ended around 4 a.m., and 13 people had been arrested. Some in the crowd were hospitalized, and 4 police officers were injured. Almost everything in the Stonewall Inn was broken. Payphones, toilets, mirrors, jukeboxes, and cigarette machines were all smashed, possibly from the riot and possibly from the police. After the night of the raid, riots continued. Soon, the Gay Liberation Front began, and then the Gay Activists Alliance. On the one-year anniversary, on June 28, 1970, the first gay pride marches began in New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago. The next year, marches were held in Boston, Dallas, Milwaukee, London, Paris, West Berlin, and Stockholm. Gay pride continues to this day, and June is officially Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month. On June 26, 2015, the U.S. Supreme Court held in a 5-4 decision that the 14th Amendment requires all states to grant same-sex marriages and recognize same-sex marriages granted in other states. Hooray!
What a story.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a story.
So let's get into the causes of sexual orientation, or homosexuality, or bisexuality, or all or neither, whatever. Although researchers generally believe that sexual orientation is not determined by any one factor, but by a combination of genetic, hormonal, and environmental influences, with biological factors involving a complex interplay of genetic factors and the early uterine environment, they favor biological models for the cause. Scientists do not believe that sexual orientation is a choice, and some of them believe that it is established at conception. So basically, no one can up and turn gay. So let's get into the history of the treatment for non-heterosexual people. I could go into all the treatments, but I'm just going to focus on the major one, which is conversion therapy. Conversion therapy is the pseudoscientific practice of attempting to change an individual's sexual orientation from homosexual or bisexual to heterosexual using psychological, physical, or spiritual interventions. There's no reliable evidence that sexual orientation can be changed, and medical institutions warn that conversion therapy practices are ineffective and potentially harmful. Many jurisdictions around the world have passed laws against conversion therapy. Early practitioners of conversion therapy employed aversive conditioning techniques involving electric shock and nausea-inducing drugs during presentation of the same-sex erotic images. Cessation of the aversive stimuli was typically accompanied by the presentation of opposite-sex erotic images with the objective of strengthening heterosexual feelings.
Wow. It's like the reverse videos of Clockwork Orange.
I never see that movie yet, but I want to.
They're like showing them all these videos to get them to stop raping and murdering people.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I wish that stuff worked for murderers.
Got to a point where like they put him on a stage and had like a woman approach him erotically.
Mm.
And he could not, man. He just broke down. And great movie.
I want to see it.
Kubrick.
Other methods of treatment include psychoanalysis, reparative therapy, sex therapy, and lobotomy.
Ugh.
That's crazy.
Ugh.
In America, only 20 states, 2 territories, and local counties have banned conversion therapy. And there's a map of, so like the red are states that have not banned conversion therapy. The green is states with full bans.
To this day?
Yes.
Wow. Hey, we're one of the red states.
Yes, we are. Missouri. Good old Missouri.
Misery.
Mm-hmm. Because of the ignorance and homophobes and lawmakers, the LGBTQ plus community is still facing oppression and violence. In the United States, the FBI reported that 15.6% of hate crimes reported to police in 2004 were because of a sexual orientation bias.
Wow.
You want to talk about some serial killers now?
Oh, boy. Here we go, everybody.
You want to do it?
That time has came.
Right here, right now.
Right here, right now.
Colin Ireland was born on March 16th, 1954, to a teenage couple in Dartford, Kent, England. Ireland had a dysfunctional childhood. His father, whom he never knew, left when he was a baby. His mother married several times. When his mother was pregnant again, she put Colin into foster care for a while before taking him back. Colin reported that during his childhood, he was propositioned for sex by at least three male pedophiles. When he was around the age of 16, Colin was sent to a youth detention center for theft, where he deliberately set fire to another boy's belongings. During his late teenage years to early adulthood, Colin was in and out of prison for things like robbery, criminal damage, extortion, and attempted deception. He was married once in 1982. get this. What was arrested for, quote, going equipped to cheat.
What?
I have no idea what that means.
What the heck does that? Yeah.
He was sentenced to 6 months in prison, and his wife divorced him.
Huh. What in the world?
I didn't know that was a crime.
It was like a bad night with Uno.
Yes. He was married a second time in 1989 to a woman named Janet Young, to which he was violent towards and stole from. In the early 90s, they separated, and Colin began living in his own flat in Southend, London, which, from my YouTubers, like, I think that's like the bad part of London. This is when he began to frequent the Colhern Arms, a gay pub in Earl's Court, London, where he first met his victims. Peter Walker, a 45-year-old choreographer, took Ireland back to his flat in Battersea. There he was bound and suffocated with a plastic bag. Ireland placed two teddy bears in a 69 position on the body. He left Walker's dogs locked in another room. Thank God. The day after the murder, on March 5th, 1993, he called the Samaritans and a journalist from the Sun newspaper, advising them of the dogs and that he had murdered their owner. He told them he wanted to become famous for being a serial killer.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Set his hopes high.
Mm-hmm. Christopher Dunn was a 37-year-old librarian who lived in Wildstone. On May 30th, 1993, he was found naked in a harness. His death was initially believed to be an accident that occurred during an erotic game, but when it was found that Dunn's ATM card had been stolen and money had been taken out of the account, the police changed their view on the cause of death. Because Dunn lived in a different area to Walker, the two deaths were not linked. Again, a few days later, police received an anonymous call from Dunn's killer, taunting them for their failure to link the two crimes. A week later, on June 7th, 1993, authorities found the corpse of 35-year-old Perry Bradley, an American businessman and a closet homosexual, in his Kensington apartment. Once again, the victim was naked and bound, apparently strangled, his credit cards missing. A plastic doll was left atop the body, posed to simulate a sex act. Again, the killer called the police and stated, quote, I did the American. You've got some good leads on my identity from clues at the scene. The caller mentioned that he knew what it took to be a serial killer because he had FBI books. I have FBI books.
Oh, boy.
You scared?
I'm hiding all the ropes and chains.
This caught the attention of ex-FBI agent Robert Ressler, who now worked with the Scotland Yard on catching the now nicknamed Gay Slayer. The same day of June 7th, Colin went back to the gay bar and picked up 33-year-old Andrew Collier. Upon returning to the victim's flat, Ireland handcuffed and then tied him to the bed and then strangled Collier. He also choked Collier's cat.
Choking the cat?
Mm-hmm. And he arranged its carcass atop Collier's corpse with the tip of its tail in Collier's mouth and the cat's mouth on Collier's penis. This time, while he was cleaning up the crime scene, Ireland missed one fingerprint found by police on a window frame. These guys sick.
Jeez.
A week later, on June 15th, Ireland met 41-year-old Emmanuel Spiteri and went back to Spiteri's southeast London flat for sex. Once there, he bound and strangled his victim, then spent the night watching television and eating Spiteri's food.
What the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
Back for a snack.
Uh-huh. Wonder if he ate cereal.
Oh. I'm wearing on her, y'all. I'm wearing on her.
Ireland set fire to the apartment before he left, but the flames went out after causing only minor damage. Police were unaware of the crime when he telephoned them the next day asking, quote, "Have you found the body in southeast London yet and the fire?" The police, who were frustrated with the killer's taunts, launched a massive media campaign to attempt to catch the killer. Detectives learned that Spiteri had traveled by train with another man to Catford on the night he was killed, and a British Rail security camera yielded blurry photos of the victim with an unidentified heavyset man. The photos were published, and several people reported meetings with a man matching the suspect's description. Ireland recognized himself and decided to tell police he was the man with Spiteri, but he wasn't the killer. However, police had also found fingerprints in Collier's flat, which they linked to Ireland. He told police that he had no vendetta against gay men, but picked on them because they were the easiest targets. Ireland pretended to be gay in order to lure his victims. He had robbed those he killed because he was unemployed at the time and needed funds to travel to and from London when hunting for victims. On December 20th, 1993, Ireland pled guilty to all five murders and was sentenced to five life sentences. He finally died on February 21st, 2012.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. He's a monster. Our next story brings us to sunny San Francisco, California. The Doodler is an unidentified serial killer believed to be responsible for up to 16 murders and 3 assaults of men in San Francisco between January 1974 and September 1975. The nickname was given due to the perpetrator's habit of sketching his victims prior to their sexual encounters and slayings by stabbing. The perpetrator met his victims at gay nightclubs, bars, and restaurants. It began on January 27th, 1974, when an unknown person called police to report a body on the beach across from Eula Street. His name was Gerald Earl Kavanaugh, a Canadian-American immigrant who was 49 at the time of his death. His autopsy reported that Gerald had suffered 17 stab wounds on his front and back, and he was determined to have been conscious at the time he was killed and had attempted to resist the killer because he had self-defense wounds on his hands. Joseph J. Stevens was discovered on June 25th, 1974, by a woman walking along Spreckles Lake in San Francisco. Stevens was 27 and had died shortly before his body was found. He had been seen at a nightclub the previous day, where he was employed as a female impersonator and comedian. Officers suspected that Stevens was alive at the time he had been at Spreckles Lake, possibly transporting himself to the area with the killer. Klaus Christmann, a German-American immigrant, was discovered by a woman walking her dog on July 7, 1974. He was found similarly to Gerald Kavanaugh at Ocean Beach in San Francisco. His death had been somewhat more violent than the previous murders because he had considerably more stab wounds than Stevens and had been slashed in the throat several times. His body was fully clothed. Christmann, unlike the previous victims, was married and had children. The fact that he had a makeup tube on his person when he died suggested to police he may have been a closeted gay man. Frederick Elmer Kappen, age 32, was discovered on May 12, 1975. He had been stabbed like all of the other victims. Kappen was identified through fingerprints due to his occupation as a nurse. He had also served in the United States Navy, earning medals while serving in the Vietnam War. Harold Goldberg, aged 66, was a Swedish-American immigrant who was discovered on June 4, 1975, in a decomposed state about 2 weeks after his death in Lincoln Park. He remains slightly inconsistent with the other homicides because he was far older than the others, his underwear had been taken, and his pants were unzipped. Goldberg is believed to be the final victim of the Doodler.
So they called him the Doodler because he made sketches of all of his victims?
Yes.
So the last guy wasn't a homosexual.
Right. He said that he targeted gay men because they were easy.
So he didn't have any kind of animosity towards... They're easy to pick up for him.
And yeah. Not according prey. To him. Yeah.
And this guy, he might be a homosexual?
Probably.
Wild.
Yeah. Police questioned a young man as a murder suspect in the case, but could not proceed with criminal charges because the three surviving victims did not want to out themselves by testifying against him.
So he had some surviving people.
Mm-hmm.
What did they talk about what they went through? What?
Yeah. So they were sexually assaulted and possibly stabbed, but they police couldn't do anything because they refused to testify.
Oh, because of the way they'd be treated.
Among the stabbing survivors were a well-known entertainer and a diplomat.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. To date,
the going after royalty. Sorry. You never know.
So the picture that I have here is the forensic sketch from 1975 where the surviving victims gave police a description of the killer and their attacker. And then the second one is like an aged progression from 2018.
So they never caught this guy?
No.
Wow, he's still on the loose.
Right. To date, the suspect has not been named publicly or apprehended. Very little information is available to the public about the crimes. So that's why I, like, don't have any pictures of his victims. Like, all I could find was, you know, what happened. The Doodler.
The Doodler.
That's it. I mean, that's all I got. Any thoughts?
Well, the thing that bothers me is that the people felt too afraid to talk much in detail about this. So I guess they gave just enough to the cops to catch the guy. But not enough to where they would go to court and then the news would pick it up and then they're now outed.
Yeah.
Well, as the years gone by, did any of the people come back?
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah.
Still on the loose.
Still on the lam. Who knows? I mean, this guy could be dead by now. Like, who knows?
Wow. Well, these were some interesting ones.
Pretty fucked up ones. I mean, the Colin Ireland guy.
Man, he just looked hateful, man. He just looked like a hateful dude. What do you think drove him to that point, personally?
He said it was because of his childhood.
No, but you. Like, what do you think? Yeah.
I really don't.
Do you believe that? You think it was his childhood? Or do you think he was just saying that to fill the cliche of a serial killer?
I mean, I think it's a little bit of both. Like, a lot of it might stem from his childhood. But then, you know, another part is, like, he was a criminal in his childhood. So it's like he was born with stuff, and then he had a pretty bad childhood, like 50-50.
And obviously, he had a hatred for the police to taunt them that way. And right.
Yeah, like an ego.
Right.
Like he wanted to be famous, basically.
Trippy.
Yeah.
We hope you enjoyed it, everybody. This was a curveball. Very educational, too.
I try.
You never know what you're going to get on our show. You never know. You and I literally don't know what we're going to get until I start hearing it.
This show is like a box of chocolates.
Never know what you're going to get. Lieutenant Dan has new legs.
Well, thank you for listening. If you like us, follow us.
Absolutely. And you know what? At this time, let's take a moment and give kudos, props, and a big shout out and thanks to all our listeners across the world who tune in every week to listen to my crazy ass and my beautiful girlfriend's hard work, research of death and mayhem. I hope she tormented you today just as she does me. If you're feeling a bit queasy, go ahead and hit that follow button. The fact that all of our continents across the globe can join and unite under a common goal and positive core value, death, makes us feel valued and appreciated and excited to go forward into the future with you, continuing to haunt you. Thank you, our psychotic family. You're why we do what we do.
Yay!
Yay!
Bye!
Bye!